This special session of the Gunnison City Council on June the 12th, 2020 is being held both in the City Council chambers at 201 West Virginia and remotely via Zoom. It is a special call. It has a limited agenda. That agenda is to consult with the county health officials and to have some follow-up discussion among ourselves afterwards. There is not an opportunity during this meeting for public input, although anyone is welcome to listen and send us comments later on. So first I want to thank Joni for being here and appreciate that very much. I want to appreciate your time and thank you for joining us this morning. I think that the bottom line concern of everyone is to do the best we can to ensure the health and welfare of our citizens. I would like to begin this morning with an opportunity for you to say a few things and then for us to share with what sort of reactions we've had and some concerns that we have about aspects of the latest health order so that we can get everything on the table. So, Joni, if you have a few statements that you would like to make, this is an opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to have a conversation with you and the entire council. I'm greatly appreciative of your time and your interest in this area. I appreciate all the leadership, you individually, as well as the collective members of the council. Russ and your entire staff at the city have done during this COVID crisis. The COVID crisis has certainly been a time of tremendous stress, and the stress is pervasive. The stress is felt throughout the community at multiple levels, and particularly with so many unknowns as it relates to the COVID virus itself and the impact. In this last version of the public health orders, my goal was really to try to provide a path that was unique for Gunnison County that would achieve a few things. One was really to look at into the future with some clear road ahead. It seemed as though in the past 3 months, one of the challenges was really to know what was coming, what was going to be next, what was going to be included in a public health order, and what might that mean for me individually or for my business or for my community. So my goal was to try to lay this out in a way that would give some path with some information that would be clear. That's one of the reasons I looked at using a risk level indicator that was based on colors, with a system that seemed consistent with other type of risk indicators in other areas, say fire risk or other places. I really wanted to be transparent in what those risk levels were and what the indicators were that would be monitored with our local data, as well as what actions or direction each of those risk levels would mean for our community. I really considered a lot of options with this set of public health orders, most especially whether or not to continue with a county public health order, or frankly, to defer to the state and let the state drive the public health orders in the public health process. My perception was that that would be difficult and that it hasn't been synchronous across the state as far as the impact of COVID and the relative risk in different communities at different times. As you all know, we led with the COVID response because we saw cases earlier than were seen elsewhere in the state. And the Front Range lagged with their response as well as their impact with cases. I'm open and interested in feedback about whether that path is the wrong path and if the right path is really to stop county public health orders and let the state drive for our county. I think that's still a reasonable consideration and one that I would be interested in thoughts of the individuals. I did get some questions submitted to me, and I could respond to those questions, or I could just pause at this point. I'd look for your guidance at what would be next.
What if you have some questions already and some thoughts on those? Why don't we go through those first, Joan?
Sure. So the first question really focused around collaboration and really how best to communicate and collaborate, in particular around, you know, concerns about why I didn't communicate effectively around the requirement for the masks. And I had a couple thoughts that I would offer and would be glad again to pause and allow for clarifying questions or discussion. But my first point I wanted to share was that my inclusion of masks was really to include it as a requirement throughout our public health response to the COVID virus, to think of it as one of a comprehensive approach that would employ multiple interventions or strategies that we can do across the community. And we are already doing things through the public health orders, including the physical or social distancing, looking at how best to eliminate risks in our community, masks along with physical distancing, the social distancing, looking at hand hygiene and sanitation and disinfecting, and considering how best to protect those that are at risk. Other strategies like ventilation are all part of a comprehensive package that collectively could help us to prevent the COVID virus spread in our community. I had made an investment early on in this response in our incident command to have stakeholder meetings. So initially we did those daily in our limited continuous mode, we modified that schedule to 2 days a week with the stakeholder meetings. That's really where my intent was, to be able to provide information and updates and share things that I was considering or ask for input or comments. And it seems like that wasn't effective in this area. So I'm open and interested in ideas of what I could do better to communicate with the city and the council.
I think that the thing that the fact that you're considering masks, I think, is people understood that, but what the timing of it was more of an issue. And if you recall, when Matthew Burney asked me directly what's the city of Gunnison on masks, I said we have no consensus and it has not been an issue on our council agenda. I probably should at that point say, hey, we'll bring that up this last Tuesday, and we would have appreciated, you know, us giving a chance to give you feedback. That probably I'll share my responsibility on that. That's a mistake I made. But the thing that when we did major changes around restaurants and those things and people, you actually said at that meeting, I am writing this weekend rules to cover this, and there actually was a memo that went out earlier that Friday that this was the topics I was covering. So that's in part, I think, why we were there. And for me and Russ was not on that meeting, so some of the things that somebody may have said, I may have missed. So it's a two-way street. I don't see it any other way. And I think that overall we've tried to do a good job, but we're not perfect. And so we are at the point we're at, and trying to, other than improve the system that we have, I don't see much more going through that for usefulness today. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Thank you, Mayor. And I appreciate that feedback. I think that was some excellent insights from you about really the benefit of both having that verbal discussion and some written correspondence, and really also affording some window of time so that there's some clarity about the work and where that window is. So I appreciate that previous example and where it was, you know, clear what the time frame that I was looking at, as well as the specific bullets of what I was looking at, and that not only did we talk about it on the phone, but that I, you know, there was a follow-up in email or through a written correspondence. And I think that's a helpful consideration, particularly for moving forward. I've thought, too, it's been challenging as we've modified the schedule to have less time available for that conversation. And so potentially also doing it in writing could help to just increase that ability to have communication. So thanks for that.
You have some other questions?
Can I have the floor?
On this topic or?
Well, on the whole topic.
Well, she has a couple of other questions that she wants to address first, if that's okay, Jim.
Okay.
I just had two other questions that were presented to me that I was going to share. And the other really had to do, the next one really had to do with enforcement and really talking about enforcement, education, and what happens when that doesn't work. And I just really wanted to spend a minute really talking about shifting our culture. And that was ultimately a goal of mine, to really emphasize masks and requiring masks, not expecting we would have 100% compliance, but expecting that we could change the paradigm of whether or not masks should be part of our culture and should be part of what we do in our community and what folks that come to visit our community should do to protect one another and to help manage the COVID risk, ideally to keep us at a blue level so that we have the maximum opportunity for our economy and for our community's health, both physically and emotionally and psychologically. And I think creating that as an expectation was the goal. I know that education is not universally going to be applied the same way that education around proper hand washing and the use of disinfectants and sanitation won't be universally applied. And we're certainly not in a position to be able to use our limited resources to, you know, monitor any or all of those at 100% level. But hopefully by education and dialogue about creating this community culture so that we can have our best chance at reducing the risk of seeing increased cases would be the goal of the enforcement.
I want to acknowledge the council and Joni, that Chief Robinson's with us and certainly collaborating with Joni.
Yeah. And you have a third question as well.
Yes, thank you for that acknowledgement. I'm indebted to Chief Robinson for his individual support and his leadership throughout the valley, his work in incident command to really lead the safety section has been phenomenal. He's a phenomenal individual that I had the privilege of working with before this crisis, and I have really appreciated the work that he's done throughout this crisis. The last one really had to do with reducing the public health risk and really questioning around whether or not now is the right time to have a mandate for masks when we didn't have a mandate for masks when we were in a red zone during the early stages of this COVID pandemic, but why now? And my response to this question is really focused on the evolution of our learning as well as opportunity for us to be proactive. As you know, early in this crisis, it was breakneck speed with changes on a pretty frantic pace, limited information and knowledge, and limited ability to be able to make things happen in advance. We were really in a reactive mode and really in a crisis suppression mode throughout the first days of this response. So again, as I was looking at this public health order and thinking about it for the long-term road ahead, I really wanted to think as proactively as possible and really give us the opportunity again to think about all of the tools we could use collectively. Although the actions are often individual, it's that collective impact that would allow us to not only maintain the lowest risk level ideally for this virus, but to keep the highest potential for our economy, for folks coming into our community, to support our tourism base, and to also support the emotional and psychological needs of our community. So that's why I chose to include the mask order at this time, really thinking in that long-term range. And those are all of the questions that I had presented to me in advance of the meeting. And I apologize if I didn't pause long enough in those responses. I'm glad to go back to any of those or any further comments or discussion.
I think our discussion will especially revolve around enforcement, but thank you for those starting responses. And Mr. Miles.
Okay, well, Joni, I want to commend you on how you've handled this. I truly believe you've done what we was trained to do with 35 years of being in emergency services myself and sitting through pandemic actions and how you respond to something like this, which we truly believe that we'd, or hoped anyway, that we'd never have to do. And I thank you. You've done a great job in trying to do this. But I'd like to consider this an interaction review. And what I always said in the fire service when these things happen, leave your ego on the shelf when you walk through the door so we can get some conclusions. And I hope that I do that and other people have done that for you and will continue. But I very much believe that we need to consider advisement and education laws that threaten people. And if I repeat myself, I apologize. The old saying that you can catch more bees with honey is true. And the community we live in here in Gunnison, what I've been going through with people that say they won't wear masks and they won't do this and they won't do that, if you have a sit down with them, I've been able to lighten people up and get them to consider the consequences on what if we have a second wave. People that are afraid of losing everything, though, they don't need threats, and that's the way these people are taking it. Let's see. We need to not demand stuff. We need to ask. I received calls last night up until 1:30 this morning, and this has been continuing. Any time we have a new order come out, and I have stood behind you, and I will continue to tell them you're doing what you're trying to do. And so I want to definitely make that point clear that I'm not upset with anything, but I think we can do better. Masks, you know, if you listen to the people, they don't help much. But they definitely make a great reminder. I mean, I've had 5 shoulder surgeries, 4 elbow surgeries, and when the doctor told me I didn't need the sling anymore, he said, when you're in public, wear it, to remind people not to reach up and grab you by the elbow or slap you on the shoulder, because it's going to hurt. Well, this pandemic, if it comes back, it's going to hurt. So I think that's something we need to do a reminder. But, you know, signage and stuff, and that's something that I felt that orders was going to come from you folks, and then we'd be getting better signage out. Well, we as a city, I believe, are working on it, but we need a direct something. We don't have the deep pockets that maybe the county has where we can make new banners every 2 to 4 weeks. And this isn't criticism, but now that as soon as we get through this and we have a direct path that we can follow, we would like, anyway I'm speaking for me, I would like to get the banners printed for our community, or if it's a valley-wide ordinance, whatever we need to do. But that's, we need that direction where we know it's there, so we're not having the sign guys or whoever print it do a new banner every 2 to 4 weeks. But the threat on this, that's where I'm getting the pushback on people. You know, I'm an American. I don't need to be threatened with fines, penalties. If we ask, and there's going to be people, as we know, if we ask, some people will, no matter what they do, I can beg them. And it's worked with some people I know that I haven't been able to convince on stuff. And they're wearing masks. They were. They're not now. I think we can get that back. And I don't want to lose everything you have done over verbiage. So that's the point. But we need to educate and not threaten fines, jail sentences, and realize that the city of Gunnison, this city council member at least, was sitting back waiting for a clear direction, because it did change much. And that's not criticism towards you. And I hope I'm not going rogue and going further than I need to. But I think I've hit all my points. I mean, I think we need to consider educational stuff. We need to consider advisement, much better, the whole valley, much better signage. And we're one valley. We're not Gunnison, we're not Crested Butte, we're not Mount Crested Butte, we're not Gunnison County. We're one valley. And we need to act together, we need to work together. And this Zoom thing has really made it harder on all of us, because we can't have these conversations. So, you know, there's so much blame can be put out there, and I'm not putting it towards anybody. We just need to make the direction we need to go to protect the community. We have so many people coming into this community that are coming from areas that maybe there's an uptick, and that is spooky. But we advise, we sign, we don't need fights in the stores, we don't need arguments, we don't need the law enforcement to be put in a position where they're arguing with people on our main street and our grocery stores. So we need that direction. And in conclusion, anytime you would like to talk, have a cup of coffee, listen to my opinion, I'd appreciate a phone call. And if it's not going to be any help, I understand too. I commend everything that you and your command center has done on this. I've sat through how many trainings, so I understand. And I think in our community, we definitely need to spend the time to educate and advise on why, and just not make threats. You threaten people, you're going to get pushback. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just getting my point on the numerous phone calls that I've received. And thank you for all you've done. Thanks.
All right.
I could respond, Mr. Mayor, if that would be appropriate.
Sure,
it'd be perfect. Yes.
Very appropriate.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miles. Indeed, Zoom makes it difficult to communicate sometimes. I appreciate your points and clearly your experience in this area. I'm struggling with the threat and the public health orders equaling a threat. When I looked at the public health orders, I thought about the requirement to do disinfecting. And I thought of hand hygiene and how they're included in the business sector requirements. And I didn't see masking different than that, except that it has created this different cultural response. But I think masks, hand hygiene, disinfecting are all similar in their potential impact. If used individually, collectively, can make a difference. It's not my personality to threaten. And I know folks have responded in that way. I personally have been threatened in a number of ways. I tire from the relentless attacks, and I imagine it's taken a toll on everyone. So, in my limited opinion, I thought inclusion of masks to elevate those as a strategy everyone could do from throughout the crossroads that come to our community could have the potential to limit the risk in our community. The one other comment I wanted to make, and I apologize for my emotions, they are not directly in response to you, Mr. Miles. It's accumulation. I don't want you to have the perception this is a parallel to the comments that you just made, because I heard your support and I heard your wisdom. A question that I have, and it's not intended to be a direct question, really rhetorical, is whether or not this local county for our valley public health order is the path that can be the best path to go forward. Or if there is interest, at the leadership level or at the community level to move towards the path of having the state do the driving on the public health orders. And again, I don't mean that directly at you. I just mean that as a opportunity for discussion, maybe today or at some other point in the future. Thank you.
Can I respond? I think we need to control our own destiny. So I agree. That's what I'm saying. I agree with what you've done. I think just verbiage needs to be done. Do an ask, not a tell. And I think we'll get good compliance. I truly believe we will. We have to follow the state orders, but we don't need to go above the state orders. If we can do that, and people need to absolutely, and I hope this gets printed in the newspaper, people absolutely need to know that you've done what we were trained to do. And a pandemic, who would have thought it would have happened in our lifetime? So we're guessing on how to go, and we're saving lives. And we need to get past the people that are saying that it's inflated. We've done, I mean, the things I've done, I've been told we're using the Vietnam kill rating. You know, you find one person in the jungle, multiply it by seven. The calls I've been getting, the hate, and then the love. So we've got both. And the majority of the people, I would hope, would think that everything that's been done has been in everybody's best interest to open businesses, to save lives, and save lives absolutely has to come first. So, but I think we need to keep it local, and we need to work as a community to get through this, because we don't know how long it's going to go. I mean, so I can continue on. Everybody knows how much I can talk once I get going, so I will quit. But I think I've made my point, and nobody can hold blame on anything to you. You didn't create this situation. You did a very, you forged through this. And thank you for what you've done, and I sincerely mean that. We just need to fine-tune this, in my opinion.
Mr. Mayor, there's a good piece of information I know Joni's working on that maybe goes to this point. And so I wondered if I could ask just a quick question. Joni, just part of taking and controlling controlling our own fate and taking actions here in the county is that, as I understand it, you're asking the state for greater flexibility than what's currently allowed in the state orders. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. My goal in submitting the variance to the state was to request that the state would allow us to use our local data and our local public health orders to moderate our response locally. That would allow us to be outside of the state public health orders. So not only could we increase the activities that we were doing in our community and the group sizes, but we could make use of the local guidance documents that have been created by so many businesses and so many individuals in our community. And that could be our driver rather than having to consider what the state is saying that's different than what we're saying locally. I think that's been a tremendous challenge for us. Of course, that's pending with the state, that variance request, and we haven't yet received any response.
You're on a fairly tight schedule, so if you have some specific things that you would like to share, maybe now is the time.
Thank you, Mayor Gilwicks. My timeline has fortunately freed up some, so I do have time, but I'll take the opportunity nonetheless. So thanks for that. I will immediately address Joni and simply start out by saying thank you. There's truly nothing that could have been done to prepare anybody for this situation, and you are most certainly in the hot seat. I think it's clear that emotions are running high and continue to, both in this meeting at the moment, across our valley, across our nation and the world. And there's a point that Dr. Hilgen made during a call earlier on in this process, we'll call it, around the grief process. And the only reason I want to bring this up is because I think many people tend to forget that this is, in fact, one of the main factors we all share as humans. We're all going through the whirlpool of grief, and the nation is stunned. The nation is reeling. And from here, we can go in many directions. Some will find anger as their outlet. Others will find ways to help. I think everybody's feeling those. It's just the way that they're taking out those emotions that is causing some of the divisions. I think division is more pertinent than ever in our valley and across the nation because of the decisions being made. And regretfully, politics has gotten in the way of what a response to such a scenario might be. Looking at the long term of the scenario, and this is something that I think has been discussed over and over, is that this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. And while the numbers may not cause concern for some, they're certainly of concern for many, including those of us in the room, and particularly you, Joni, and the command center, as you look to prepare for the next oncoming wave. We've discussed it, and I'm not in the room, but I'll say in city chambers, of a second wave. We're seeing reports this morning and over the last few days of states where visitors tend to come from, particularly Texas, some southern states, Utah. They're seeing spikes again. And I think these are the types of, I'll call, carrots that may be helpful to communicate to our community in how we're thinking, or you and the command center is thinking about the decisions being made, Joni. I find a great deal of value in looking well ahead into what the potential scenario might turn into. And the unfortunate of the scenario is that there are just so many pieces of information floating around masks, around the mortality rate of this thing, around what is effective and what it's not. In my personal opinion, 50% chance of reducing spread is better than 0% chance of reducing spread, and therefore do appreciate the use of masks for our community. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I think some of the communication points, and thank you for your answer to the three questions. You answered all of my questions as it pertains to what I've heard myself from the community. I think the vocal opposition that is in our valley has every right to have their own opinion, and I respect that, and in many ways have learned and gotten insight as to a culture that is very different from my own, being an immigrant to the valley, to the country, and having grown up with different values. I look at their concerns, their challenges, and very much empathize with them. Again, going back to my original point of having just a better understanding now more than ever around the grieving process and how communication can break down and intent it can be misconstrued for various reasons. Nonetheless, I think it is important to acknowledge that there are challenges being faced by both vocal opposition as well as those that are not in vocal opposition. Jim, I'll second your point. This isn't Gunnison and Crested Butte and Almont. This is the Gunnison Valley, and I'm very proud to be representing and working alongside you, Joni, and those on council to find the best path forward through these still muddled waters. So, thank you.
Thank you, Diego. Do you have a comment, Joni, or do you?
I do. I apologize, Mayor. I'm used to being called on, so I didn't really want to speak out of turn, but thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Plata, I'm appreciative of that and your insights into the grief process, the collective loss, and the collective impact for individuals in our community and across this valley and across the state, nation. It's just unfathomable. And so, of course, knowing that and knowing that impact is really important to know how the grief process can look, and knowing that grief doesn't look the same for anyone, and it's not going to look the same for any community. And that's intellectually really important to recognize. It sometimes is a more challenging at an emotional level when anger does run high, but I do totally empathize and understand that everyone is experiencing it differently, and how we respond is unique, and I really do appreciate those comments.
I guess we'll go to Mallory next if she has some additional comments.
Yeah, I guess, listening to Diego and Jim, I don't have a lot to add. I'd sent council an email yesterday highlighting questions, and we've started to answer those. I'm not quite there on the enforcement, but just want to echo that, Joni, I really respect where you're coming from and your intent with the public health order. And I respect your conviction once you've been, making these tough decisions over these last 3 months and really standing by them. Knowing that your education is there and your intent is all there in keeping our community as safe and healthy as we can. For me, it wasn't really the why of the order, it was more the how. How are we gonna make this happen? And also how, the communication breakdown, as we've all been talking about. I don't think we need to drill into that anymore, but I am frustrated that we didn't have due notice to get our police department on board with this and have more time to educate people and prepare as a city to help our business owners understand why and how we're going to make this happen. But I think that's why we're all here today. So thanks for meeting with us.
Thank you, Ms. Logan. I appreciate your feedback and your perspective, and I commit to doing better with communications. I think the initial feedback and ideas about, doing both verbal and written really with, you know, some clarity around the time frame for consideration will be helpful. And I commit to continuing to do better at that with, you know, the council and mayor, along with, you know, others throughout the valley. So thanks for your feedback, and I appreciate that some businesses that I patronize here locally in our town of our city of Gunnison, as well as other towns in the valley, have already implemented the use of masks at some level. Some have actually required them prior to this, and I had received a pretty wide array of input and feedback. I really did look to public health, and again, really tried to compare different interventions at a time where, you know, the science for this particular virus is still evolving and relatively delayed to be able to give us the exact prescription. But again, did see a parallel with the use of disinfectant, hand hygiene, and other strategies on an individual basis, along with masks. I didn't see it as a different or unique, but I did see it as part of a collection. So I appreciate, again, your comments and your feedback.
All right, Bo. Any additional thoughts?
Sorry about that. I couldn't get my mute to come off.
Welcome to Zoom.
Thank you. Right. Well, yes. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you also, Joni. I think you've done a spectacular job in a very, very difficult situation. I do have to say, I really don't envy your position. I think it would be heart-wrenching and extremely stressful, and I'm concerned for you as well as the community. I can imagine the comments and feedback you've had from folks have been very unsettling, and that concerns me. I just, the vision that's been created or even enhanced in our community is kind of frightening. I know this is a really, really, really big deal, and I listen to what's going on and how hard people across the country and the world are working to resolve the issue. And personally, I don't think it's a real big deal to do the safeguards that we've been asked to do. You know, I've been trying to wear a mask all the time when I'm in public. I just got a buff today, and I'm hoping that even something as simple as this buff is enough protection, or at least like Jim was saying, to remind people that, you know, hey, we got this. It's my shoulder's bad. We have to be careful of the aerosol, the droplets that are expelled from us, and it may not totally prevent it, but it may reduce the chances of further spread. You know, I guess I have to go back. I had some friends come to town a while ago who are second homeowners once they were allowed back in, and they brought their postcards with them and were pretty taken back by, you know, how that messaging was. And I know as a council, we were kind of concerned about the messaging and the timing and the, just the communication of the expectations of the county health department. Personally, I mean, I'm not offended by it, but I can see where a lot of people would be. And I think, as was mentioned before, maybe to soften the tone somehow. I know the second postcard that was sent to the second homeowners was really much appreciated by the folks that I talked to. And, you know, maybe somehow with the messaging on the COVID also could be, you know, I'm looking right now at the last statement paragraph on the health order about the possibility of imprisonment or $5,000 fine. And I guess you have to have something out there. I can't imagine ever using that, but you have to have something out there so people will understand that, well, maybe there is a real consequence to me not following the orders, or me, you know, confronting store owners or whatever the case might be if I don't comply. I don't know. I just, the division in our community really, really concerns me. I know people on both sides. I have good friends on both sides of the issue. And I just wish there was a way that we could all just work together to get through this. You know, we don't have any kind of serum yet to combat this issue. But in the meantime, we need to be real careful, because I'm just really afraid to see what happens when we're all back indoors all the time, close to our friends and family. And, you know, I certainly would not want to see any of my neighbors or any of my friends come down with this. And I think, you know, your health orders will help minimize that possibility. I want to put a little hand out to Councilor Miles and Plott and Logan, and of course the mayor, they've been doing a great job, and they're all very concerned, and you know, it's been a tough time for all of us in the council chambers. Like Jim Miles said, you know, being on Zoom all the time it's much better and easier to be in person. So anyway, I'm going to quit rambling. But anyway, Joni, I really appreciate what you do. I hope you're doing okay. I am really concerned for you, as well as our community. So anyway, thank you for what you've done.
Joni, I want to be respectful of your time. Do you have something right at 10 o'clock that you need to attend to?
No, I cleared this morning, so I'm in my office working on a variety of projects, but no, I have time.
I very much, because trying to keep your schedule, I know mine's difficult enough, yours is twice as hard and twice as stressful, so I appreciate that. Did you have some comments that you wanted to share back with Bo or not?
I did. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Freeburn. I appreciate your feedback and your comments, and I appreciate you highlighting, you know, what is in the public health order, and specifically around the consequences from a violation of the public health order. And in working with the county attorneys, who, you know, are the experts when it comes to the legal language for public health orders, that was language directly out of the statute, in the attempt to put that in the public health order so that folks wouldn't have to reference the statute or go look that up in the statute, but rather that it would be clear language included in the public health orders. I know that that's been perceived as unique and somewhat more aggressive or higher implemented here in Gunnison than in other county public health orders. And in truth, that statutory language just wasn't included in other public health orders, but their statutory authority does reside in that same statute. And that I just wanted to highlight that I think public health orders in general are exceedingly rare, especially at this you know, level, if you will, meaning that it's being done at, you know, county, states, and across, you know, every jurisdiction throughout the nation, happening in other countries across the globe. And we have, you know, just rarely seen this in my career in public health. When I worked at the state level, the public health orders were reserved really for only the most extreme circumstances. And where I saw those issued at the state level were really for individuals that were putting other individuals' health at risk. In the case of a couple, and I worked there for many years, but a couple individuals who had contagious diseases like tuberculosis and HIV, and were blatantly disregarding precautions and advice and direction on their behaviors. And so to issue public health orders for the county. In talking with my colleagues across the state, many of them who've been in their positions for decades, many have never issued a public health order. And I would dare say in Gunnison County, that's the situation, that there's never been a public health order issued. And so this is, all of it is so different and all of it's so foreign and exceedingly challenging. And I wouldn't say my challenges are more or less than anyone else's. They're different and everyone's challenges are considerable. So in the face of such uncertainty and then such unfamiliarity when we think of having public health orders issued, it creates obviously additional stress in our communities and additional stress for all of us, those that are in, you know, critical positions like all of you on the council and mayor, in town leadership and, you know, throughout the valley. It's unfamiliar, but it's also because there isn't a historical record of times when we've had these situations, it's hard to reference back to know, you know, what the processes were that were effective and how best to proceed in so many different roles. So I just wanted to acknowledge that in general about public health orders. And again, I, as you can see, I don't really take any of this lightly. And I've weighed decisions very heavily. This is consistent with my approach, but I take my responsibility seriously as the public health director for this county and the health of the community seriously. And that's where the public health order's genesis is from, is that serious level of responsibility for individual lives and the impact on lives. And the impact on lives, in my limited opinion, is not limited to just the virus, but the impact of the virus throughout our community when it comes to the impact, you know, economically, emotionally, and psychologically for folks. And so I work at Health and Human Services, and I see both sides of the spectrum, and I know that when folks have economic impacts, that hits them in a way that's, you know, pervasive. It affects their health in many different ways, and COVID is no different. COVID affects all of us across that spectrum, too, and so trying to figure out how to balance all that is really, you know, kind of the puzzle, if everybody could find that critical piece to say, here's the answer. But again, I appreciate all of your comments and your wisdom and thoughts about that. And I just wanted to, provide some feedback and some thoughts from my perspective. Thank you.
And we appreciate that very much. I have some thoughts as well. And first, I wish that all of us were under less stress, and there's no way that that can happen. And I will repeat something that I've said many times, that 20 years from now, a seven-year-old will look back on this and say, gee, they should have done this. And the answer is that the seven-year-old isn't born yet. We are where we are. And I think your goal of trying to get mask wearing on the part of patrons, especially and elsewhere throughout the community, up to a level that fits a reasonable model is a great goal. And whether that's 50% or 60% or higher, and I think we feel that that's a great thing. And before I go on, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. I am one of the individuals that does have problems with any extended period of wearing masks, of it causing respiratory problems. So that's why coming into the building, I wore a mask, but during this meeting, I'm not. And so I gratefully acknowledge that at least while it may not help some individuals in my position from being criticized for wearing or not wearing masks by people, at least it gives us the opportunity to make a judgment about our own health and do the best we can for ourselves. And second, I want to acknowledge that, you know, in the comments that I made about how to deal with restaurants and some of the issues around eating and so forth, certainly were reflected in the orders. I compliment you on good listening and trying to take full information into everything that you do, and certainly there are no easy answers here. I do want to share a couple of perspectives with you, because we need from this point to move on to get the greatest compliance we can in mask wearing, and that's where I want to move forward. And there are two things that I think that I worry about. One is that have we created the point where we have a strong enough backlash now, beginning with the naysayers who are entitled, as Jim said, to their opinion, but unfortunately we will never be able to reach them, and I doubt if even fining or imprisonment will change their opinions or their behavior. How do we get the greatest compliance? And I want to start from the point of last Friday, when I was working with people in the business community and trying to figure out where our business community was, because there'd been a lot of talk about how Crested Butte businesses really wanted, hey, I want to tell people when they walk through the door that this is really a county order. In Gunnison, I think to the best of my knowledge, a majority of our businesses were trying to be compliant as in every way that they could with their employees and themselves wearing masks. There were some exceptions that we were working with, and I think the police was working with, and the chamber was working with on. And they were sort of, hey, we want to have, maybe if I can afford it, available masks as they come in through the door. We want to ask people nicely to do there, but we really don't want the hammer behind it. Now, that obviously is where they were. It doesn't mean that they're not going to do that, but we've had a couple of businesses react very negatively. One putting a sign on the door, no mask today, no mask tomorrow, no mask ever. And so it's that group of people who now, I worry that maybe they will come back and because they will choose to sort of flaunt their not mask wearing as their right of independence or whatever they believe, that can spread as something that is counterproductive to general mask wearing. I'm not sure where we were at in Gunnison fully, at least off of what I could ascertain, we're somewhere around 40%, and so I was hopeful that a campaign that really emphasized some things, and I saw one from Cambridge, which had a big happy face, mask for your friends, and maybe something with a little bit of humor, welcome mask stranger to Gunnison and so forth. Those messages maybe would have helped to get voluntary compliance. They're not good messages once you have a requirement, because they're not clear enough and not set up there. So that's one thing. And here's an example of the thing that I think that we have to take an account for. You have a person that's been in an exempt business, a gas station, a convenience store, who for 90 days had somebody come in, give him some money to pump gas. He pumps gas, and it's less than, you know, 30 seconds that person's in the building and sees them. They've had no real problems with that person. And now that person that runs in with a bill, it's their responsibility to tell them to go back outside and put on a mask and come back in. I'm not sure that that individual in that position or a person who's a young person dealing with older people in some of the stores really has, you know, the authority to be a good enforcement mechanism. Hey, it's required. I think it's far easier for them to ask. But again, we've sort of put the impetus on the store owner. And if the store owner can't enforce it, and the person's, you know, they've repeatedly, they become known as a place where, gee, you don't have to wear a mask, that will sink through the public. And so at what point is our only hammer really left on the store owner rather than the individuals who are flaunting the order? And that becomes then, I see it as a point where we're asking our officers to go up to people who aren't wearing masks. And I think that, in my opinion, the likelihood of them encountering people who may be, COVID clearances out there that unknowingly or ignorantly transmit the disease to everybody they see, we're increasing the odds on that individual officer in trying to, if they try to intercept everybody out there, going store to store and making sure that individuals who in the store are wearing masks is a different task than that. And I don't know where we fit into that. And then if it's sort of on the store owner and a person comes in and is stubborn and says, hey, I don't want to leave the store. I'm going to stay here. You should be selling to me. It's a free country. I have a right to buy from you, which is a little different kind of logic than I have. But they're out there. And then that gets into a point where you start approaching other things, trespassing, assault and battery. That doesn't help us in the long run, and it doesn't help there, because then you're calling the police in at a point where it may be there. And so I worry about those types of things. And I got a couple of other points, but maybe you want to, maybe Chief Robinson or you want, Joni, want to come back and talk about that a little bit. But I'm looking at it from that person and them. I haven't had any problems with 90 days. We know that that was worse than it is today. Why are we more trying to make it a lot more, in their mind, more restrictive? And how do we convey that message that, yes, information changes and we're trying to prevent anything from coming back? At what point do we wear people's goodwill out? And I think that happened during the Spanish flu outbreak in 18 and 19, 100 years ago. And that scares me, because that means you're, regardless of what we do, we end up with too many people losing their lives.
Mayor, I had a couple thoughts, but it may be that Chief Robinson is going to speak next.
Okay. Wasn't sure where I was supposed to jump in here. I agree with everything you said, Mayor. It does become a choice between how we want to enforce stuff. From the beginning, and we started this back in the very beginning, the health orders would come out, tried to figure out what we wanted to do. So we started working with all the law enforcement agencies, trying to give the same message. And when we couldn't figure it out, Joni was good about coming in, bringing in the county attorneys. And we actually developed a plan that hasn't changed much since April 1st. Emphasis is the same all the way through. We start out still with educating, but that education is directed more at the businesses. At the time we did this, there was restrictions on residences, so it was the homeowners or the home associations. But it was try to get to that point, because in all of this, there is a criminal element at some point. And the direction we got from the DA and from the Attorney General's office is you have to be able to prove intent. And the way the health order is written, that intent takes a lot to get to. Even in the current one with mandatory mask wearing, it would be real hard to walk down the street and prove intent just because you don't have your mask on. So we're still doing that education mode. We're not walking down the street telling people to put masks on. One, they're walking down the street, it's not illegal at this point. Even in a business, we're waiting for the property owners or the business owners to ask for that assistance. And the best parallel to it, and it took societies changing at some point, long before I can remember, is you've got to wear shirt and shoes when you go into business. That's really where we're at with masks. That's a public health direction that everybody just accepts, and you put your shoes on or you put a shirt on before you go in. It's still violated. You go around summer, you're going to find people in the stores without shoes or shirts. It's still up to the business owner to walk up to them and tell them to leave. And if they refuse, then we come in and yeah, it is trespass. If they refuse for us. The thing I'm looking at on this, we just need to have enough time with it consistently in place for people's attitudes to shift that, yeah, I just need to do it whether I agree or not. We're gonna have resistance. That's a given. I think the officers know that. I don't know that, I know I can't say I got 100% in agreement with it. You know, they'll do it because we tell them to. But we have these debates going on in the office all the time too. But I think the only way we can move forward, if we've got an order that says it's mandatory, we're gonna have to stay focused on the business owner or the property owner, because that's the only one place we can have a consistent message. And that's not because we're looking at moving forward with any kind of punishment. It's because that's where we need to get that compliance. They need to send a clear message to the people coming in their store. And the thing that's kind of missing, and we run into this in a lot of areas with lots of laws at this point, a lot of the people complaining are reading the order and assuming what it means based on their interpretation. So we're getting people calling because, well, everybody in the store doesn't have masks on. Nothing says everybody in that store has to have a mask on. There's all the exemptions that we're hoping the businesses are clearing up. So that's the message we're trying to educate the complaining people too. Just because somebody doesn't have a mask on doesn't mean they're in violation. So it's an education on both sides, both the people complaining as well as the businesses, asking them, are you asking people to comply? As long as we walk up and they say, yeah, we're complying, we know we're supposed to ask the questions, our ability to enforce kind of goes out the window. So the next level we have after that is to go back to Joni's office and say, here's what we've got. Do you want to make a specific violation against that business from her office? And then we can look at going back and making that next level. We've never got to that in anything yet in the county. The ones we've had close, once we start talking to them, they've either gone and got a variance or permission to do it, or in a lot of cases, the health orders changed. So it was no longer a violation what they were doing. Joni's approach at trying to make something more long-term, I think will help clarify this issue, because people will know what to expect. And mask wearing stays in every one of these levels, because we're at one of the lower levels now, with masks being mandatory, so people should start getting used to it. One is I talked with Russ about today, and we started it, couple weeks ago, our officers are carrying extra masks. If they run into it, they can give somebody a surgical mask. We need to continue that, so we need to find some more funding. But so far, we're not having trouble getting masks through the county. But with more tourists, we're going to need more masks. The other thing is maybe we'd get some other kind of mask we can use that helps advertise that we're passing out. So there's some other options out there. Education, as soon as people hit the city limits or the county, is good, and we don't have enough of that. We had to do that in the beginning with social distancing at our trailheads. So we've got permanent signs now at the trailheads. That helped a bunch. We need that same thing with masks downtown at the city limits. You know, everywhere you look, you see that masks are required will help. Kind of rambling, I don't know if that answers your question on enforcement, but our goal isn't to be out writing tickets. I don't think it would work. I agree with you, Mayor. If we start writing tickets, we're not going to make anybody happy. But trying to get that message through the business owners, through our advertisement, I think helps. And I think advertising to people that it isn't a one-size-fits-all on everybody that has to have a mask on. There are those exceptions, and you need to learn to be tolerant. That's why we encourage everybody to do it. If I'm talking to the mayor, he doesn't have a mask on, well, I'm protecting myself. And a lot of the studies are really showing it's more the wearer of the mask protecting everybody from themselves or from them. And that's kind of better the way to look at it, as you're helping your community.
Just to maybe add to Keith's comments and to a point Jim made is we have gotten some very good news on funding and resources, and the managers just had a very constructive discussion yesterday late afternoon. We've received approximately $1.5 million in support for COVID response and recovery. When we look at our out-of-pocket costs, some of the things that the county has budgeted for, we have about $284,000 left. So yesterday, the municipalities, county, we're all talking with Andrew Sandstrom about a communication campaign. Erica has a call in to
the manager.
One of our shops to do banners, and there's now a consistent message kind of starting off with keeping our valley safe and open. And we're also, we found a couple leads on some inexpensive, reasonably priced sources of masks. And also Keith brought up a good idea that Anton was beginning to explore was some messaging with reusable masks. So I think that communication component, also Celeste with the chamber, was out distributing the same messaging that was developed yesterday. So I think a communication campaign to support our businesses and to support the encouragement to use masks has begun.
I just wanted to let you know that Kathy Fogel has her hand raised.
Oh, okay. Kathy, how are you this morning?
I am well. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Yes. I just had a couple comments from a mostly legal perspective, if that's okay.
Certainly.
Okay. Everyone and Joni, these are, as everyone said, not intents of criticism at all. And I have, you know, great respect for the task at hand and what's been done, both Joni from your side and also what the county attorneys are working on. And I think I may not be as formed in my thoughts as some people have been, but I think that the danger, and the mayor has said this, the danger of a law without intent or really ability to enforce it is inviting bad behavior. Maybe it's more of the tone of the order. It's still law, even if it's not stated specifically in bold print, as far as what possible penalties are and such. It's sometimes less words are more. You know, as time has gone on, the orders get longer and longer. And I understand why, because there's changes and it's moving. But maybe there's a way to, you know, shorten things up, make it more clear for people of what the expectation is, without maybe highlighting the potential penalties and, you know, negative consequences of failure to perform, in a way that gets better community buy-in. Because I do think our community does buy in when it sees the reasoning. And I think that the messaging and the tone could be a lot different to attain that, especially for people coming into this community. You know, we wear masks here, and that's what the expectation is. And that takes some of the pressure off of the business owners. It takes some of the pressure off law enforcement. And it also takes pressure off citizen to citizen, which is happening a lot as far as people yelling at each other in parking lots and other places. So those are just kind of my two cents worth on, you know, lawyers like to write things very clearly and forcefully, but maybe this isn't exactly what we need moving forward with this order that's going to be in place for a long time, it appears. So those are just my thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I did want to make a couple comments. I appreciate your thoughts in regards to the masks and the compliance, and really a recommendation versus a requirement. And I had started on a recommendation earlier and had made that verbally and in my guidance, and included and changed that to a requirement in this public health order, thinking for the long term. That would be the most effective across the state. The experts at the CU campus are doing modeling about the impact of the public health interventions to really look at how well it will suppress the spread of this virus. And they've included mask use in that modeling. They actually project a 50 to 60% level currently. They think that we could impact those infection rates or the rate of spread at that level or higher. I think we probably could do higher here in our valley, but 50 to 60% is likely higher than the current use, in particular when we include all of the visitors and tourists into our community, which makes us more vulnerable as a county or throughout our valley. And I appreciate the feedback. Thank you, Kathy, for your wisdom as an attorney and your legal counsel. And of course, I've been dependent and really grateful for that at the county attorney's office. And we have had a lot of feedback about the tone of the orders. And I've come to recognize that there are differences in the authorship of legal documents. And I really have tried to manage that respectfully with the attorneys that have been in, you know, involved in writing those orders and making certain that they're using their legal expertise to really give me their best guidance around how the order should be written as far as the wording to make it have not only the right information, but potentially limiting the risks related to the language that's included in it. So what I hear is that, you know, there's an opportunity around whether or not masks should be included as a mandate, as well as whether or not the illumination on the statutory language should be included as it relates to consequences, fines, or imprisonment. So again, I appreciate your wisdom and your input for me. Thank you.
Hey, Mayor Gellick, my apologies.
I'm sorry.
I don't mean to interrupt. Just, I said earlier my schedule had freed up, but now it's not so freed. So I did just want to make a quick final comment, and I will need to sign off. I guess the first piece I want to say is, because I don't know how the conversation will end, I want to make sure that it's stated and crystal clear to you, Joni, to those listening, that we as Gunnison City Council stand very firmly behind the orders with you. We are human, and perhaps the tone of this conversation has shown that there was some miscommunication, some hiccups in the process. But the point is, we are where we are, and we are here to support you and guide our community into hopefully a better place based on these orders. I think it's important to humanize the fact that council is in fact human, and the people that we represent are human, and mistakes can be made along the way. I think we can recognize that it will happen and can learn from it. We're building the fire truck as we drive to the fire, and Joni, I'd jump back onto your fire truck if hopefully never this were to happen again. Thank you for your leadership, and council, thank you for your time on this call today. That's it.
Thank you, Diego. Jim, did you have something that I know you probably got to leave here fairly quick too?
Just thanks everybody for their time, and hopefully we can get through this, and thanks.
As I said, I had a couple more thoughts I wanted to share with you, Joni. One is, I have friends in Texas and who are very mask conscious, and if they could, they would do N91, N95, or whatever level of mask that they could get, and they're very careful about how they wear it, and they won't let anybody near their house that's not properly wearing a mask and so forth. But one of the things that they ran into, and I want to share their experience with you, is they went to a salon to deal with hair and nails and those things, and when they had to insist that the employees put on masks, they were told that the whole mask wearing, from what the orders existed in his community, were that they were optional for their, and it took them a while to get people to wear masks while they were doing services that are very close proximity. And when people come from that place, I think that some of our businesses are very worried that because we are different, because our experiences is different than elsewhere, our ability to communicate them effectively, especially where Gunnison is not a destination they plan on spending, two, 3 weeks, or, it's maybe 1 or 2 days at most, or just passing through. There are instances where those individuals get very upset. And you have a business sitting there, and they're looking at, gee, I've lost 75% of my income so far for this year. I'm worried about paying my rent. Now, if I really irritate this person up to the nth degree, am I losing my ability to pay my rent? Am I losing my ability to make a living? Can I stay open? I won't be able to pay my employees. Those are all real situations for them. And the irony is, it's supposed to be, if it's mandatory, it's supposed to be 100%. But then we talk about models that end up being less than that, or the expectation that maybe not everybody will do it. Now, certainly, we all know that the reason laws are on the books is because we expect people to violate them at some point, and we need to have consequences to prevent that from being too much. So it puts some people in dilemmas, and I think while they were comfortable asking nicely, they were less comfortable saying it's the law. In those instances. Now, I think that, I'm not saying go back or anything, because I think that those individuals in those businesses, for the most part, will try to do that and say, hey, it's a requirement on our county, know, please do it and so forth, and we'll try to adjust to that. And I know that there are other situations where people are so interested in getting business that they sort of, they have the sign in the window and they may mumble it at them, but they really don't try to press it. And I expect that sort of situation to continue. But we need to recognize people have different experiences coming here, and how best do we deal with that. And I don't have an answer to that. I do have one final thought that in addition to that one. And the final one is, I think when I was sort of thinking about this and reflecting on it, I asked questions at what level would I have been surprised. If the mandatory masks had been at yellow or some level higher as something that kicks in and you got to do it to control and things are changing, I said, well, that would be relatively easy for people to understand. Hey, things are getting worse. You got to do more to protect yourself. The aspect of the fact that blue, and I think it's in our interest to maintain some level of health orders until we reach a point where we have some realistic control on it. Medications, vaccines, mutations, whatever. I think that's there. Off of what I've heard, if we can get some of that next spring, we're probably in good shape. I think that for some people, and I think I'm in this group, is that as we go along and we see a very level program of, you know, very few people being ill, or maybe there's even a period of significant length, and I don't know how long significant is, of where we have almost none, is there a point where there may be another step in there where we can loosen things up a little bit more, so for people to have, you know, some notion out there? I don't know if that's a good answer or a bad answer. I hear, you know, if you're going to have an order, there should be certain minimums that are across the board everywhere. Is mask wearing a minimum? And that I don't fully know. It's just something that I think that it is a very personal thing, and it does influence people. And I know people who are very conscious about wearing it. In certain circumstances, it becomes, an irritant to them. I don't think it's a health issue to them, but it's an irritant and comfort level. And so that may be something for you to think about. I'm not saying that it's an answer. I'm just saying that maybe it relieves some pressure points out there and allows certain tensions among all of us to relax a little bit more, if it's safe. And so that's sort of my last thought. Any additional thoughts from you, Joni?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Mayor, and I appreciate your thoughts. And I agree that things will, you know, likely change in the coming weeks and months, and certainly the public health orders could reflect our insights on new information and certainly new situation. And I pray we have that phase where we don't see cases and we don't see them for a period of time that makes us all comfortable, that we can make a shift. And I pray that happens for our whole globe, but particularly, you know, our community and our valley and throughout the state and those states where folks come to visit us from. I think that would be a tremendous phase for sure. And I certainly will, you know, take your input today and along with all the council members' input and, you know, your city manager's input into all of my considerations in the future. And of course, we'll have lots more communication in the future too. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you today. I do want you to know that we did push out masks last night to both of the chambers, and so the Gunnison Country Chambers did get masks. We sent out a couple thousand masks with both a mix of the disposable and the reusables, and we're looking at what we can do to continue to support so that those are available. And the public information officer is also working around communications and education, both for visitors and for community members alike. So again, I want to thank you all for your time today. And, obviously this has been really helpful for me to hear from all of you. Thank you.
And thank you. And I appreciate your sincerity. And I think reflecting some of the comments of if we could end up with sort of some version of the Cambridge happy face with mask wearing in our messaging that causes people to smile, not just say, gee, it's another order we got to follow, that might help. And I want to give any other council member an opportunity for a last comment before I know you have to go and do many more things today. Any last thoughts, people?
Just thank you, Joni, and if you do need anything, please reach out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joni. Mallory?
Yeah, I really just wanted to say thank you all for an open and civil discussion. And I agree, these Zoom meetings are so hard to not be face-to-face with people and feel like you're getting left out. And I look forward to working together to, come to the right conclusions for our community.
Thank you, Joni. Let you go. And I think maybe Russ and us want to maybe spend about 4 minutes wrapping things up afterwards. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Joni.
Additional information you our staff wants to share with us?
Just again, I mentioned, and again, I think this is very good news from a financial standpoint, that we're going to be able to cover the $220,000 we've done in grants and then create an additional pot of money, whether it's grants, PPE, communication, and we'll be bringing you a letter agreement between county municipalities, including Marble and Pitkin, that have to be participants in it. But managers will be proposing that we create a pool of money and locating that within the county, but then giving staff or managers the authority to be nimble if we meet a need, whether it's housing, utility support, or communication, that we can do that very quickly using this fund. Also, just finally, we are looking at and have had a discussion about fireworks displays, and we have done some research. There are many, many communities around the state and on the West Slope that are continuing to do and plan for fireworks displays. Buena Vista, Delta, several along the I-70 corridor near us, Durango. It's about 7 pages of communities within. So Andy Eflin is continuing to work on plans. The basic concept would be a display, but then also doing a band that would actually drive the community, and also a little bit of a celebration about individual homes or neighborhoods that would decorate their homes around the 4th of July. So the message would be, stay at home, enjoy the fireworks, and we're going to actually bring a band to you at your home and dress up your neighborhood and your house in celebration of the 4th of July. And then there would still be a communication plan with that. So I just wanted to share that thinking with you. I know that was a topic of discussion. Right now, the fire department feels very comfortable, and we have a unique situation where we can have a safe location for a display. I just want to give you that quick snapshot.
Russ, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do we have a timeline update on the parklets on Virginia?
Oh, thank you. Anton's in the room. One thing that has recently come out is, this is out of a little bit of collaboration and discussion, is both ordering tables. Anton did a beautiful design on parklets, but then thinking about the practicality of how long will it take to build, deploy it, in an idea we wanted to, and we may not have time to fully discuss this today, is instead of creating these structures that will take a little bit of time to actually build, just simply looking at Virginia and South Maine in terms of closing them on the weekend and putting tables out on the street, obviously still coordinating with the farmers market to make sure that the location works for them. So that was a simple idea Anton bounced off of us of, we've got the tables, we can do it quickly, create additional seating, and simply begin to do that. So that's an idea we wanted to discuss, and Celeste may still be on the call, but it's something we want to discuss further with them. An interesting piece of news we just got is CDOT sent us an email saying they can consider parklets in the highway right away. There's a process for that, I'm sure. And so we're going to inquire on that. But that was a nice response from CDOT. I think it was the governor essentially doing a executive order or providing direction on that.
Hey, Russ, this is Diego. I keep saying I'm leaving, and then here I am. Sorry. That's a really great piece of news. And Mallory, thanks for asking the question. I've also seen a lot of news sources citing various mountain towns that are doing this, the parklet, the closing Main Street. I know we don't have that full ability. If I can ask for some, I would say a bit of urgency around this, I think it'd be really helpful to try to, I know you guys are doing it as fast as you possibly can. And Anton, thank you for the design, and Russ for leading it. I think that would be great value to the community to see it happen, and for us to take some action that can hopefully help some of those businesses.
Any reaction to, quickly doing this on the weekends on Virginia and South Maine, and that's something we can do rapidly.
And with just the tables, and I just had a thought, for the parklets, if we can get some builders to donate their time to build them and we supply, that we put a feel out there, we might be able to get his design done relatively quick too, and then have the combination, especially if we can put them on 135 in front of restaurants, that could really help.
You still got to be careful from a public safety standpoint.
You've got logging trucks running down through there. And
well, we could have them on Virginia too, but then they could be used in the future if we could get the build or get more.
Yeah.
We can close off those other two streets and order in some more park benches and really fill it up with social distancing also. So however we do it, I think it's a great idea.
That was an idea from Anton that we can do quickly.
That's perfect.
Great thinking, Anton.
I like that idea.
No, I do like the idea. That can be done now. So.
Yep.
You don't create too much of a problem. PD and traffic.
I agree with the urgency as well.
We might have the need to have it through the week too, especially those two streets are easy to shut down, part of them or all of it.
And so, finally, we would like to do some banners. We now have a consistent design throughout the county, and we're still getting a quote on the price, but three coming into the community. Okay. That's all I have.
Anything else from council or staff or? Appreciate you being here.
One last question. I attended the ICS planning meeting yesterday. I'll share some minutes out from that. I regret not having done so prior to this call. Nonetheless, I'll share that with you. Planning for next week's, Mallory, will you be able to attend? I'm available to attend as needed. And I think it'd be a good learning lesson for us to, whoever attends, provide some kind of minutes from the call with the team.
Something that I apologize for not thinking of.
Yeah, I can attend next Thursday at 2:30. Do I need to contact somebody to get?
And Russ, if it's two elected officials per council can attend, if so, Mallory and I can attend, if that's fair or an option.
We've had other, I mean, if you had more than two, you can always post it virtually as well, you know, that you'll be participating.
Okay, I'll plan to attend with you, Mallory.
Okay, so we'll have three on Thursday.
So that's just a simple notice.
Oh, I'm sorry, if there's three, then no. We'll leave it at two. That's fine. Sorry, I thought.
Yeah, dealing with all. Take care.
Yep, Jim, safe drive.
Like I said, I appreciate the thought. Never, since there was a statement that came out every day after those meetings, which essentially covered what was in the meetings, I never thought about any minutes about other parts of it. So, my apologies for just not seeing it.
We've all got a lot going on, Jim. No worries. We can always improve.
Okay. Hey. Like I say, hey, we all make mistakes at times, and I'm still waiting for the 7-year-old, and I hope I'm around to hear him tell me how I should have done it.
And I'll be diligent about participating as well.
Okay. Anyway. All right. If there's no other comments, I thank you all for today and appreciate it. And we stand adjourned at 11:42.